Support comes from Empower Missouri, which believes a criminal record shouldn't be a lifetime sentence of poverty. Empower Missouri is working to automate expungement of criminal records. More at empowermissouri.org.
Bob Burns has been a beer truck driver, a congressional staffer, and a state representative. And now the Afton Democrat is looking to transition into county politics by running for the 6th District County Council seat in South St. Louis County. Burns joins us next on Politically Speaking to talk about his campaign and his political views. Let's hit the music.
This is the Politically Speaking podcast, the definitive show about Missouri politics.
It's a little complicated in Bolivar because there is a Parsons family there.
But we also knew that it was important to make sure that we got to where we needed to go.
You know, if you walk in a room and you're getting ready to make a decision and everybody in the room looks like you, you need to stop.
And right now what happens in the United States Senate is as critical as anywhere else in the country.
I really want the state to succeed.
Well, we want everybody to know that we're all working together.
I just worked hard to try to build my name where I didn't have the money.
And welcome to Politically Speaking. I'm your host, St. Louis Public Radio political correspondent Jason Rosenbaum. Joining me in our guest backyard is
Rachel Lipman, one of St. Louis Public Radio's political reporters.
And we are pleased to have on the show a state representative representing South St. Louis County and a Democratic candidate, the Democratic candidate for the council's 6th district. Our guest today is
Bob Burns.
Thank you so much. This is your first time on the show, but you are definitely not a neophyte to St. Louis politics. So as a person who has not been on the show, we want to give you an opportunity to talk about who you are, how you got involved in this crazy world of St. Louis and Missouri politics, and why you're running for county council.
Well, it started actually with my parents, because my parents were Depression kids, and my dad had to quit school in the middle of the eighth grade in 1929. But luckily, he got a job at the Terminal Railroad, a union job, where he stayed till he died in 1930. He got it in 1935. Well, he would come home because he'd have to work on Sundays, and we would watch 20th Century together with Walter Cronkite. My mother had to quit school in 1931 when she was a sophomore at McKinley High School, and they taught me work ethic, what it meant to have selfless leaders. So I've always had myself in a position to be a selfless leader, not a selfish leader. So Diane and I got married in 1967. We started public service right then. We worked the church we were married in. I volunteered to coach a basketball team. Then when our children were born, we started in school. She was in Mother's Club. I was in Music Boosters. Father's Club, then I became president of Father's Club, and I graduated from Afton. I attended K through 12, and she came in second grade and lived two doors from here, as a matter of fact. And when we got married, we decided we were going to stay in Afton for the rest of our lives, and we've done that. So I've lived here in the Afton South County community for 72 years, and it's about giving something back. We were lucky in our lives to have great parents who gave us so much, worked so hard for us, and lived the American dream, you know, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So when I got on the Father's Club, when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, we'd go to the gym at Afton High School all summer long, take our lunches, and Coach Burnett, who's still living, by the way, in his 90s, taught me something when I was 12 years old, or 10 years old. He said, "Burns, I can't hear your words because your action speaks so loudly." So I've always lived by that. And I've carried that through. And when I got to be president of Father's Club, I went over to, that was in 82. I went over to Dick Gebhardt's office to pick something up, and they asked what I liked to volunteer. And I said, "Sure." I became the volunteer that had the most amount of time in volunteering. And then I guess it was 94, the beer distributorship I worked for, I had worked there 18 years, closed. So we all had to start going back through the union hall calling every day. Well, Dick Gebhardt offered me a job on his congressional staff. So I took that job in 95, stayed till 98. I had a leave of absence from the beer truck and paid my dues. And then at that time, I'd also run, they encouraged me to run in 84 for the Afton Board of Education. So the desegregation agreement started in 1982, so I came in on the board. And when I got on the board, it was six members. I unseated an incumbent president. And Tim Fitch from the county council, who I've known 35 years, said, Bob, the budget chair won't answer my questions anymore. I said, this is deja vu all over again, because that's what happened to me on the after Board of Education. Mm. Business manager wouldn't answer my questions. So within 2 years, we had other candidates run. We took over the majority of the board. That business manager was gone. The superintendent was gone. We restored Afton to the tradition that I had learned there and Diane had learned there. And it's about the children. And it's about giving something back. So from that, in Dick Gebhardt's office, so I was on the after Board of Education, driving a beer truck, and then I went to work for Dick Gebhardt from 95 to 98. I met a young attorney named Sean Kennedy, who was just starting out. Well, then he became Claire McCaskill's chief of staff when she ran and won Senate. So when he heard I retired from the beer truck in 06, he called me and said, Bob, you want to go to work for Claire McCaskill doing the same thing you did for Dick, doing outreach and being on the Speaker's Bureau and doing the kitchen table talks? And I did that. Worked for Claire till about the end of 2010, retired from that. And I thought, well, you know, I'm probably just going to go ahead and enjoy retirement.
And then Scott Sifton was like, I'm going to run for Senate.
Right. And Scott said, Bob, why don't you run for this? Yeah. And other people too. So I ran and I won. By at least 60%, and I won. And the first time I had a primary opponent, well, we knocked on 7,000 doors in the primary, 7,000 in the general, and I won. The next time, you know, 2 years later, I won 60% or better. I won in 16, and then in 18, I didn't have an opponent.
So why make the decision to go for a county council seat then, you know, the sometimes natural progression in Jefferson City is you take on the Senate seat that includes your House district. Why go to more of a local government level than continue to progress in state government?
Well, the school board was local. When I worked for Dick Gebhardt, it was local. Even though his district went from the Brewery to St. Genevieve, and they put me out in Festus, which I'd never been south of the Merrimack River that much.
Beautiful part of Missouri, by the way.
Yes, and wonderful people. You get to know people. And then when I worked for Claire, I did those same things, although I do them a lot of times around the state. She had four offices. But, in fact, Crystal Quaid, the Democratic leader for the State House now, was an employee of hers in Springfield. So I knew that Doug Beck wanted to run for the Senate. I talked to Scott Sifton about it. And even though I've gotten three bills passed, which is hard to do as a Democrat, and I've had a fourth one that was on the block, ready to be approved, but then COVID hit and that killed it. I said, you know, I'm sick of that fighting, the constant adversarial position. I have gotten friends on the other side of the aisle because you treat people with respect like you wish to be treated. In my party, same way, you know, you treat people with respect. And so I thought the county council is much more like the Board of Education I was on. And it's probably, it should be the most nonpartisan job there is because it's for the greater good of St. Louis County. We are the economic engine of the state. And I look at some of the things that are going on in their meetings now, the way they're conducting themselves. I said, wait a minute, they need help out there because the people don't like that controversy. So that's why I decided, and Doug Beck wanted to run, and I was going to try to run a primary against Doug. And so Scott Sifton is a dear friend of mine, and Gina Walsh is a dear friend, and I know what Gina went through and Scott went through just trying to get this most minute little thing changed. So I said, I'm 72, I'm getting tired of that fighting. I want to go out. Retta Days is a personal friend of mine for 30 years. Steve Webb, whose wife just won, he's a personal friend. They were both at my fundraiser. Tim Fitch, and the reason I know Tim is our youngest son's best friend in school was an explorer for the county police department. Tim Fitch was the lieutenant that handled that.
St.
Louis.
This is vintage St. Louis.
St. Louis.
But from hearing that, I get the sense that if you're elected, you're not going to be a rubber stamp for Sam Page because all those people you just mentioned are kind of independent-minded and are going to make decisions based on the issues, not what the county executive says. Is that a fair assessment?
That is totally fair. I love my wife with all my heart and soul. 53 years. And I'm not a rubber stamp for her, as she can tell you.
And she's sitting right here, by the way.
But no, I wouldn't be a rubber stamp for anybody. When I got on the Afton Board of Education and some of the things that the Missouri School Boards Association preaches, they wanted everything to go through the superintendent. I said, well, then what do you need a board for? You just need a rubber stamp. So no, I'm not a rubber stamp for anybody. I'm going to look at each individual issue and see how. And also the other thing is, too, I want every district, all seven, to get a fair share of the money. Right now, South County's not getting their fair share. I know Retta Days, North County, where Rochelle Walton Gray and now Sholanda Webb, their district is not getting their fair share of the money, and that has to be changed.
What is it, do you think, that puts you in the position to, as you said, not be the rubber stamp for anyone? How do you fit that role better than the current occupant of the seat, Ernie Trakas? Why do you think that's you're in a better position to do that?
I don't want to knock anybody, okay? But just that latest vote where Trakas switched his vote and went with Sam Page, he disrupted his whole party. They're very upset with him. And quite frankly, that was just to have more oversight over the workings of the county executive and also that $173 million of COVID money. And if that's not spent at the end of the year, that goes back to the federal government. So what I'm saying is I'm going to look at what's best, first of all, for the people of the 6th District. And that's why I believe in our police department wholeheartedly. I believe in low crime rates, high property value. And I believe in helping business, economic development, because that's where jobs come from. And I believe in strong school districts, because that's what holds neighborhoods together. So I am not going to be anyone. I've never been a rubber stamp. I certainly would never sell my vote to a lobbyist or anyone else for anything. I'm going to be out after what's for the greater good. And my whole life, when I played ball, when I was in school, and I had my own, people say, Bob, could you, you're able to organize things? I had a band in high school, 10 teenagers. I had 4 African-American singers that sound like the Temptations. I had a girl singer and 5 musicians. Trying to get 9 other teenagers to a band job, all dressed, rehearsed, ready to perform and on time. And I did that for 2 years. So I have organizational skills.
Well, as much as I'd like to hear more about that, I do want to go back to what you were alluding to before. So just, you can do quick answers to that. If you had been on the council, you would have voted against giving Sam Page authority how to spend the COVID money. You would have wanted the council.
I would have voted with Retta Days. I would have voted with Tim Fitch and Mark Harder. And by the way, I've worked with Harder before. There's a 54 West organization, Roads and Bridges. And another person, you know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Executive Ellman in St. Charles is a personal friend of mine. He was a personal friend of Dick Gebhardt. Opposite side of the aisle, but we're friends. And you look at the job he's done in St. Charles. And also Lane Gannon's husband's down the executive in Jefferson County, doing a lot of great things. Again, I said, we're the economic engine. And I think the best kept secret in St. Louis County is South County.
So the other thing you alluded to was legislation that Councilmen Fitch and Harder, and I believe Days voted for it as well, that would have restricted county executives from extending emergency orders indefinitely.
I would have voted with Retta Days, Harder, and Tim Fitch. And the reason I say that is anyone, a good manager, good football coach, a good executive, doesn't have all authority themselves. You delegate authority, and we used to do that on the Afton Board. You have checks and balances, but no one should have that much authority. And I think a perfect example of that is Steve Stinger. Nobody knew how Steve Stinger was going to be. Well, he's sitting in federal prison right now because it got away from him.
What's your top issue in this general election?
I want the people to be heard. A week ago, they had 300 emails and letters, and I think they didn't read most of those. Those folks are upset. This is not some social club. You're there at the will of the people. Just like the 93rd District, it's not my district, it's a people's district. The office I occupied in Jefferson City, that's the people's office. That's the people's capital. It's the people's council, and this is the people's county. And when they ignore that and say, we don't have time, that's wrong. Like I said, it's not a social club. There's 7 districts, and they all need to be equally represented. So you go in with the idea, we're going to make it better. We're going to keep crime rates low. But here's the other thing. We've had pretty good issue with crime rates here, but Steve and Sholanda Webb and Retta Days and Rochelle Walton Gray is a good friend of mine. Her husband, Alan's still in the house. He's a dear friend of mine. They deserve to live life, liberty, to pursue the happiness in their areas as well. That's why I want low crime rates for all seven districts. I want the people to have a say. I want them to live the American dream. And when you have a lot of crime, that means something. That means you're not going to cut your police department by $7 million and 100 officers. No, that Prop P money is supposed to go to make our police department stronger and better.
So we know that COVID-19 is going to impact the budget of St. Louis County. It's just a question of by how much. You already mentioned that the police department should be shielded from, if not entirely, heavily from those cuts. Where then, what other cuts should be made? And are there other things that should be protected?
Well, you protect the public interest and the public safety and vital services. But you need to go through that budget with a fine-tooth comb, and I think that's what Tim Fitch was trying to do. And, you know, you don't always know about reading budgets. It's a hard thing to do. But there are people out there who are highest integrity that can help you understand every place. And that Prop P money, it's been reported, that's been squandered. That's gone to other areas, other raises that wasn't promised to the people. That's one thing Steve Stinger did that was good. He promised the people Prop P money would go for the police.
Well, that was going to be my question, though, and I've asked this to other people. Do you think that Proposition P was actually to help the police, or do you think it was just to help Steve Stinger look tough for his reelection bid?
It might have. Well, whatever it was, over, I think 74% of the people voted for it. That means they were told and they understood it was for the police department. Just for example, Officer Langsdorff that was killed in Wellston, mm-hmm. had there been another police officer with him when they walked in that, and I used to deliver beer to that business.
Yeah.
He had about a 98% chance of survival.
But Officer Langsdorff was not working for county police though, correct?
But it was supposed to go for the municipalities as well. And also the Northwest Co-op. Blake Snyder here in South County, he was at the Schnook store in Gravois when he answered the call about 4 o'clock in the morning, just getting ready to get off shift. He went over to Green Park, which is just right over here, by himself. The other officer was a minute behind. He walked up to the door. The kid shot him right in the face. He was dead on the ground when the other officer arrived. Two officers in the car, and you've seen these shows on television. That other officer wouldn't come up from the passenger side with a spotlight. They would have seen the kid with a gun. He wouldn't have approached the door or the window. He would have had a 98% chance of survival. Now, I don't know what people are thinking about, but when you have officers, women and men, that put their lives on the line for us just by walking out their door, that Prop P money is for our police department, period.
We'll be right back after this quick break with State Representative and County Council candidate Bob Burns.
Thanks.
The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on the Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.
And we're back on Politically Speaking with Bob Burns, the Democratic nominee for the 6th District Council seat. I want to stay on the issue of policing, because one of the big issues in St. Louis County has been trying to engender trust between Black people and especially the St. Louis County Police Department. St. Louis County Police Department patrols basically all this area. What I've noticed is a lot of cities in North St. Louis County that are incorporated, when they're given the choice about whether to go with St. Louis County or the North, what is it called?
North County Police Cooperative.
They haven't gone with St. Louis County. And part of it may be cost, but part of it is I think that there's a lack of trust between the African Americans in this community and St. Louis County Police Department. What would you do to help bridge the divide between those two groups?
Well, you got some great African American minority county police officers. You have Colonel Troy Doyle, who's a wonderful man, dear friend. You have two young gentlemen, lieutenants, who are head of the police association, boxing. I would do a lot of community talk and community events and talking. The issue is, that's why I said it's so wrong that the county didn't read or set up a time to read all those letters and communiques that the people sent in. They're not listening to the citizens. The citizens will tell you, when you got leaders like Retta Days, Shalonda Webb, those kind of people, you can work with them. One of the things we did here, when I was on the Board of Education, we were the first district in this area to have a service officer in the building. It started at the high school. That created such a fury. But then when the kids got to know the officers, a lot of them were lady officers. And first of all, that police car parked on the parking lot deterred a lot of crime. But they'd find out if a girl was being mistreated, a boy was being mistreated, if there was going to be a fight, and all these things. And then all the districts here got them, and all got them K through 12 in all the buildings. So with that kind of vision, the police do such a wonderful job. The K-9 unit is right up here. They do so many things to help, and present themselves. And I think if you look at the true percentage, what is really the percentage of people who are shot by police officers? It's a low percentage when you take in all the crime. We have to look at overall crime. Just the other day, right over here on Rivas Barracks off of 55, somebody stole a car. There was a police chase. It was abandoned on a yard. So many police cars here, they found all kinds of drugs, guns. Well, they abandoned it and they got away, but I think they knew who they were. Crime is all around us. We need a police department. And the other thing you'll find, municipalities, that's why St. George, we disincorporated. And it wasn't all me. It was the mayor at that time, Carmen Wilkerson, and Diane was the president of Board of Aldermen. Many people got involved in that. They get to the point where they can't afford the services for the people. And I think you'll find in these municipalities, I don't want to detract anything from their officers, but if you go to the academy, young officer, man or woman, and St. Louis County Police offers you a job, or St. Louis City Police, or the Highway Patrol, or a large sheriff's department, or large, like Maryland Heights or somebody where the pay is high, and then you have a place that is small and they can't pay you that. So I think, you know, the better candidates are going to go to those places. I don't want to take anything away from the officers putting their lives on the line. But I think that if we can do it right, and you know what you do? What Dick Gebhardt taught me, going door to door, you listen to the people.
You could make the argument, though, that the people in these communities where they feel as though they've been over-policed or the police are paying more attention to them, but there's still a lot of high crime, that they aren't being listened to. What fundamentally do you do to get over that gap? You know, they are saying, we want things to change. We want police to treat us better. They feel like they aren't being heard. How do you address that issue? You're saying that you want the people to be heard, and they're saying leaders aren't listening.
Well, again, just watch my actions. Retta Days, I've talked to her about it. I've talked to Shalonda Webb and Steve Webb. I talked to Rochelle Walton Gray. I said, let's get out and talk to the people. I'd be happy to come up. And I think you got to do that. You got to talk to everybody and listen to them. What problems are you having with the police? Are they not responding? Are they being arrogant when they respond? And also, that Prop P money was not just supposed to go for two officers in the car. It was supposed to go for raises, more equipment, and also training. Officers need sensitivity training. You know, there's new techniques all the time. The one thing I learned, you know that song by Alice Cooper, School's Out Forever?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I thought that was going to be me when we graduated in 1966. But you know what we are? We're lifelong learners. I learned so much on the Afton Board of Education. I've learned so much in the house, going and listening to people and talking to them. I talked to Troy Doyle about this. And I have never met the new police chief, but she called me on the phone, congratulated me. Seemed like a very nice lady. People want to be heard. Let's listen to our officers. What are you encountering? What are the people encountering? If it's body cameras, if it's two officers, you know, two officers and an officer by himself or herself, a lot of times will say something that they wouldn't say maybe in front of another officer. There's certain protocols, certain procedures. And like I say, Retta Days is a dear friend of mine. She's a very professional lady. She cares about her district just like I care about here. And this is not trying to make someone put them on a pedestal. You know, in the school district, they call it the ivory tower, the administration building. If everything revolves around the ivory tower and not around the classrooms with the kids and the teachers, something's wrong. Well, this is not about the central office. This is not about the council. This is about the people.
Well, I do want to bring up something that came up a couple of years ago, and you were criticized pretty heavily for calling into the Bob Romanek Show, which, if you listen to it, is a pretty detestable program. I got to be honest.
It's off the air now.
I mean, he says all sorts of crazy things, racist, sexist things, whatever, and you got a lot of criticism for that. In addition to giving you a chance, because this may become an issue in the campaign, I want to give you a chance to respond to it. What would you say to people that questioned your judgment for calling in on those shows, basically?
Well, I would say that I met Bob Romanek at a veteran's funeral. African-American Vietnam veteran, was homeless and didn't have any money, and his family wouldn't claim the body. He laid in the city morgue for 13 months. Bob, and I work with the Patriot Guard riders all the time. In fact, when you drive out, it's now called Veterans Heroes Highway, but Telegraph Road around Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery, I got that bill passed through the House, the Senate, signed by the governor. It says Veterans Heroes Highway. On the bottom, it says funeral processions. Because of a Patriot Guard rider, there was a group of them escorting a funeral up from south to Sheridan Road. You make a right and go into Jefferson Barracks National Cemetery. A lady made a left turn and broke into that funeral procession and killed a Patriot Guard rider. So I've worked with him a lot, and that's where that bill came from. So they called me about this funeral. They were going to give him an honors funeral at the Michaels Funeral Home down by the hill. And I went because of the Patriot Guard riders. Well, Bob Romanek was there. And they introduced me to him, and he said, oh, you're a state rep? I said, yes. He said, well, what are you working on? I said, I've got this bill that was passed, but outside the budget, we have to raise our own money, just like the Blake Snyder signs on Graboid. Doug Beck had to raise that money. And he said, well, I said, it's passed. The signs are waiting to be put up. He said, how much is it? I said, it's $3,200. He took his checkbook out that day, made a check, and said, here. That's the Bob Romanek I knew. I never agreed with any racist statements. He and I agree on unions. He's a former police chief, on policing, on safety for our communities. He was a member of Local 600, which I am a retiree from. Children's issues, animal issues. I've done a lot with agreeing with the Missouri Animal Alliance. Animal Alliance. It's M-A-A-L. Anyway, but that's far as it goes. And I don't agree with any of that. And as a matter of fact, you can ask any of the colleagues I work with, like Alan Gray, I mentioned, or and Tommy Pearson Sr., who's a dear friend, maybe an honorary member of his church. I ran into him. He was out, and his son, Tommy Jr., who's also a minister, ran. Well, we went to an event for food pantries, and it was run by Bear Corporation. They have about 7 trucks that deliver the food. Well, Tommy, first thing he did, walked up to me, hugged me, and he said, Bob, if I was still in, that would have never gotten out of caucus, ever. Everyone knows you're not a racist. So that's my answer to that.
A couple more questions, but one thing I really want to ask you about, which may seem like a boring issue, but it's a really important issue in the 6th District, is development. Because if you are the councilman for the 6th District, you are also basically the de facto mayor for unincorporated St. Louis County and South St. Louis County. What would be your mentality on that? Because oftentimes there's a lot of controversies over putting apartments in places or putting buildings that are too big.
Storage units, I think, has become the new big thing.
How would you deal with that issue? Because it's almost certainly going to come up if you're elected to the seat.
Well, I'm all for economic development. And I went out and saw that storage unit where they wanted to put it at Lime Ferry and Old Lime. It is a desolate waste area, and there's a building that's been there probably 80 years, deserted, and I've seen renderings of that storage facility. It's beautiful, and it wouldn't tear the neighborhood down at all. As a matter of fact, it would pay the Melville School District $50,000 a year in tax money. So economic development, there's another one, the apartment complex down the street from Royal Orleans. I was for that when Forrest Miller asked me about it 3-4 years ago. Tracus has done everything he can to stop that. They took a story off of it, and one-fourth of that's going to be for veterans. All of those things. Now, I don't believe in cheapening a neighborhood. That's why this zoning and planning, you want to talk to them. But first of all, you want to talk to the people that live there. I don't believe in jamming things in, but when people say, hey, we'd be for this, it would help, and the more people that like move into these homes. You know, you get to a point where you don't have any more storage facility in the home, so you start storing things. that's just one issue. There's other businesses, and now with this COVID has shut so many businesses, we have to give businesses a helping hand and get them started, because they hire people and they bring tax money into the school district and into the community, plus they hire people. So our economy has been down. They asked me too about taxes. Well, you know, they say that St. Louis County budget is going to be off what I before tax increase. I said, absolutely not, because the people's income has been down as well. And when they wanted to do that sales tax for daycare, that's the most ridiculous idea I've ever heard. You can't take public money and put it into private daycare. Their schools have daycare facilities. There's a lot of private daycare facilities that will work with people. And she did it here in our home. So I think we have to take a good look at what's best going to serve our communities.
My final question for you is about the political dynamics of this district. This has typically been the most competitive county council district, just because South St. Louis County is competitive territory. I believe Trakas won this seat very narrowly.
Less than 1%.
And I would expect that this race is going to be very competitive because of a lot of different dynamics. Why do you think that you're going to come out on top over Trakas, given that he won a very competitive race in 16, and I'm sure he's gearing up for another one in 2020?
Well, first of all, I listen to people. I talk to people. I'm out in the community a lot. And I don't just listen to say thank you. I listen to what they have to say. And I know the people in here want economic development. They want safety from the police department. And you go here from, say, Lima, homes $50,000 to $80,000, and get out into Oakville, $2, $3, $4 million homes. They all want the same thing. They're to live the American dream, for their homes, their community to be safe. And that's why I say Prop P money was so vital to spend on our police department, not cut our police department. So that's what I'm going to stand for. And those are the things that Trakas has not been for. He has not been for economic development. He's stopped a lot of issues. He'll make a statement, my office or my district. It's not his office. It's a people's office. It's a people's district. Same way with the office I occupy in Jefferson City. The people put their faith and trust in me. It's their office. It's their capital. And I treat it things like that. And there again, I'm not running for this so I can run for Senate. I'm 72 years old.
This is probably your last office.
I'm finishing my career, and I'd love to be there 12 years, 15, 16 years. But I'm running because I love South St. Louis County. I want to make it even better. But I want other districts to be well as well. So this is about helping in those areas. And there's a statement. If you're using it to run for another office, it's called selfish government, selfish servant. I'm a selfless server. I give of myself and my wife, and that's why I want it to be better. I'm not running to build my own ego and my own career. You'll never hear me say my district or my community. This is our community, and I've lived here 72 years. The last thing I would say, Gene Peters Baker was the head of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
Never met me. I never met her. Never saw her in person. Never spoke to her. But she said I should resign from office. There's a lady on the St. Louis County Council. I don't want to mention her, but I've never met her, never been in a room with her, never spoken to her. And she called me a dino, and that she's going to back Trakas. I would tell anyone out there, before you condemn someone, talk to them first. And before you condemn them, think of something happened to one of your children. And the way some of the people have treated me, give me an opportunity to speak to me first. Don't listen to rumors. You heard I've done something or I'm some way, give me a chance to talk to you. And that's my last word.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We will be having an episode with Councilman Trakas in the coming days, because we want to make sure the people of the 6th District are informed about their candidates. For all of our stories, stlpublicradio.org. Follow me on Twitter at Jay Rosenbaum. Rachel, how can people follow you on Twitter?
At R. Lipman, 2 P's and 2 N's.
I don't think you're on Twitter, but do you have like a campaign website? Is there any place on the internet where people can find out more about your campaign?
Well, they can look at burns4st.com. They can contact me through the state office, through our email, which is bnd.burns@att.net. They can call me, 314-638-8299, and they can watch the Facebook things I put out. We do a lot of, what do they call it, blasting or where you make it larger for the whole district. And we'll have mailers that go out. And enough people know me, there's ways that they can find out about me.
Contact him one of those ways, and until next time, so long.
Walk hard, hard down life's rocky road. Walk bold, hard, that's my creed, my code. I've been scorned and slandered and ridiculed too.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.